I'm your host, the Doc Chad Matthews, lordsofpain.net. Wherever you may be listening, Doc says.
This is just what the doc ordered. I'm saying welcome. They sick of the other shows. Chad here to help them. The author of the mania era is bringing terror on. This is the preparer for the knowledge that he about to showcase. Like a bar that you lift, his opinions hold weight. He wrote a few books and he's working on another for y'all. This a 5-star podcast, Chad, let's get it on.
Author of the WrestleMania era, the book of sports entertainment and of the doctor's orders on lordsofpain.net. Hello and welcome to The Doc Says here on the Chairshot Radio Network. I am your host, the Doc Chad Matthews, author of The Greatest Matches and Rivalries of the WrestleMania Era, now available on audiobook format on Audible or iTunes and other platforms. And thank you for making me a part of your day again this week. It's been a lot of fun this year covering pro wrestling again. So thank you for joining me each week and helping make the experience that much better. It's time for a Sunday conversation, though. It's been a while since I've had a guest on the show to sit back and just observe and commentate on the state of pro wrestling. And I'm bringing on a guest today who's a good friend of the podcast, has been for many years. I have nicknamed him in the preview for this podcast the NXT Guru. And he is Jay Cool from lordsofpain.net. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me on the show.
It's always good to have you here, man. And I want to, before we get into today's topic, which is the Wednesday Night Wars, ladies and gentlemen, it's the competition that fans who were around years and years and years ago have been clamoring for a long time. And it's the competition that fans who didn't get to experience that live have wanted to see so that they could understand fully what all the fuss was about. So where do you stand? I mean, we're a few weeks out from the actual commencement of battle, so to speak. But where do you stand on this topic? Do you think it's fun that we have a competition, whether it be perceived or real, like we'll talk about later?
It's a lot of fun. It's so great seeing everybody on social media just getting excited for it and having their say and all the speculation. It's fun, and that's what it's all about. So you're right, it's been a really exciting year for wrestling fans, and I don't think I could have anticipated us getting to this point in 2019, but here we are. Looking forward to it.
It's interesting if you rewind the clock to even the last time you and I talked, which, to be honest with you, I'm having a hard time remembering when that was. Was it before WrestleMania weekend's NXT TakeOver?
Yeah, it was just before, TakeOver New York.
Okay, cool. And what a show that was. So NXT has been continually building its reputation. This, on one hand, I know there's a lot of people out there that want to take the pot shot at Vince McMahon and talk about how it was a decision that was made specifically to counteract the debut of AEW on TNT, which I will be attending, by the way, in about 8 weeks when it comes to Charlotte, North Carolina. My daughter actually has become quite a little wrestling fan this year, and she wanted to go to a wrestling show for her birthday, so I got her tickets for her and I today.
Amazing.
Indeed, I'm excited. I haven't been to a TV taping in like 12 years, so I'm excited about that. But NXT also has going for it. It's not just about where they're somewhat strategically placed opposite TNT's AEW show, but this is obviously the natural progression of things for this brand. They have been heading in this direction for many years, gaining strength. They've been absorbing loss after loss after loss of top talents who go up to the WWE main roster. They just keep reloading. Triple H has got a system down there that works. It was the alternative to AEW before there was an official alternative. They were the alternative to WWE before there was an AEW. So Yeah, I mean, that's the natural evolution of NXT, right? I mean, you follow it as closely as anybody. You've recapped it week to week for a couple of years or more on LOP. So what is your thought on them moving up first and foremost to this Wednesday night show, 2 hours, prime time on the USA Network? The yellow brand, ladies and gentlemen, has arrived.
Absolutely. This is, and I say this being, you know, as much a wrestling fan as I am a music fan, this could be like when the Beatles leave the Cavern in Liverpool. Okay, they're a huge deal in that town and everyone loves them, and the show's there in front of, you know, a pretty packed audience, but ultimately not a very big audience. But as soon as they leave the Cavern and they get, you know, out into the world, you know, the fans in Liverpool know it's not going to be the same again. And in fact, it wasn't, because then, you know, Beatlemania hit every country that they landed in and then some. And so, and we've seen tastes of that, you know, or glimmers of that, I should say, with the takeover shows and how big it's kind of exploded, far beyond, I think, what Triple H expected, maybe, at least in the timeline that it happened. I don't think they were expecting to sell out Brooklyn as soon as they did. And then from there to kind of piggyback with the main shows of the WWE roster. So yeah, everything's been building towards NXT kind of striking out on their own. And it makes sense. It makes sense that they are going to be, kind of pulling their own weight now and making some money, for WWE.
One of the big obvious questions that a lot of people have had, and I want to get your take on this. As soon as it was announced that it was going to be primetime live and on the USA Network opposite AEW, a show that I think, would it be fair to say in your opinion that we're all somewhat expecting this show to come out of the gate pretty hot?
Oh, yeah, fever pitch right now, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, there's high expectations for what AEW show on TNT will be able to produce in terms of viewership and a fairly rapid brand building exercise. NXT, opposite of that, if that's what ends up happening, and let's say that what I think is going to happen, I've tweeted about this a little bit, I've given it some thought since and have still come back to this conclusion. If we're going to look at head-to-head ratings battles, I think AEW is going to very much win the early rounds. That's my personal take. Now, if that doesn't turn out to be the case, I think that I grossly underestimated the attraction value of NXT on a week-to-week basis. But the big question I want to ask you is, there's a lot of people out there that are nervous that a loss in the ratings battle, quote-unquote, is going to be something that Vince McMahon will not be able to help but notice. And because of that, get his mindset and his hands on a product that really didn't get to USA Network because of him.
I think that worry is justified only because of how much we hear about, you know, Vince getting last minute, wants to make changes to shows, and, you know, it's his company, so he always wants to have kind of input on things. So yeah, I can see where people are coming from with that, being nervous about that. But I mean, on the other hand, yeah, AEW being on the station that they're on, I think that's significant. You're right. I think that's going to make it pretty easier, I think, for AEW to attract maybe a more general viewing audience, maybe not your pro wrestling fan, or maybe someone who used to be a wrestling fan or is like kind of just a seasonal wrestling fan to go and check it out. I could see that being the case. But this is like, if Vince McMahon has any respect for Triple H, he's going to let Triple H run with this. Like he has ever since Triple H said, I want to start this thing. I want to make this happen. I want to do a performance center. If he just keeps letting Triple H kind of make it work, slow and steady wins the race. And it may not be that slow before you see NXT pulling ahead, you know?
And that's one of the things I wanted to get your take on too, is obviously there's a really slick routine to the NXT production. It moves swiftly across multiple months of television on the network, straight into a takeover show that everyone's always jazzed about, that no matter if it's the UK brand or the main NXT brand, this company delivers with these takeovers. And that's a brand that is pretty much, that's the event franchise, the special event franchise in wrestling that I think all others should be following. Its length, its streamlined card, everything about NXT TakeOver is the way that modern pro wrestling should be presented. Do you agree with that?
Yes, and I wanted to touch on that briefly if I can, because when you think back to, like, you know, some of us when we were younger and we grew up with wrestling, and you had, you know, the Big Four, which, you know, people still talk about, but the difference between NXT and WWE is that they actually have a Big Five. Like, they actually are sticking to, you know, making those pay-per-views or special presentations, whatever you want to call them. They are still special because they're building, you know, a few months at a time towards these shows. And that's why people want to watch, because it's not like we're seeing the same match, you know, a day in and day out. We saw it 2 weeks on TV and now it's on the pay-per-view every month. Like, that's not working for the regularly watching wrestling fans. So you're right. I think this model that they have is definitely, you know, the successful way to do things for wrestling in 2019.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how Triple H responds to all this, personally. I think that he's probably the figure that's almost gotten lost in the shuffle, because I think there's so much attention right now on All Elite Wrestling, the buzz they've created. I mean, there's so much about AEW that seems buzzworthy, at least in the wrestling world. Meanwhile, NXT's just been chugging along, and this opportunity comes about for Triple H and the NXT brand to step up to a completely new level. And Triple H has flat out said that he is the one in charge. This is his thing. Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
NXT is his thing, and Vince McMahon will not have his hands on it. I mean, he outright said that in an interview over the past week.
Yeah.
So that's telling, I think. And I think that though it will be hard for Vince McMahon to stay away if the early ratings battles, if they're going AEW's way in a pronounced fashion, I think it would be hard for Vince McMahon to completely stay away. I do think that's a legitimate concern, because I look at it this way. If you've ever played sports, and if you had a rival in sports, and you would face them, you know, whether it be, you know, I always had a friend who I was always competing with. So we were always on the opposite basketball team, always on the opposite soccer team. And when we played each other, there was a friendly banter. We're still friends to this day. We were college roommates. But when we are engaged in sport or some sort of competitive thing to this day, whether it be Trivial Pursuit or whether it be a game of pickup basketball, the old competition flares. You can't make it go away, even if you have no intention of engaging it in any way, shape, or form the way you once did. That old habit dies hard, and I can see that being a problem for Vince McMahon. TNT, a big, powerful corporate guy from a different world trying to come into his. I mean, it just a former employee with not so great things to say about the company. Moxley added to that equation. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think Vince McMahon would be itching to take part in a competition like that, or at least part of him would. But all that aside, Triple H is in the spotlight. And if he does take those early blows as the figurehead of that brand, I am going to be curious to see how he responds, because this is his testing ground. Wrestling has proven in 2019 that competition was never going to go away forever. Like it or not, AEW, whether it succeeds in becoming a legit competitor to WWE or not, it has stoked the fires for the competitive juices that live within wrestling fans who want to see head-to-head competition amongst pro wrestling promotions that are pushing themselves, pushing each other to be better. So Triple H, taking the blows, responding, that's a big part of this narrative to me.
Yeah, and I think Triple H has the most to gain from it too, right? Like, you know, we're talking about Wednesday Night Wars against AEW, and that's all fine and well, but if you, you know, look at the social media presence of wrestling fans who are talking about this war, you know, a lot of them are around the same age, I would say. Like, you know, NXT and AEW are fighting for a similar demographic, whereas Raw and SmackDown are fulfilling, you know, a different demographic, I would say, to some degree. So, you know, this war is as much NXT versus AEW as it could be NXT versus WWE. I mean, Triple H is kind of showing like that he's got this kind of process of developing wrestlers and recruiting talent, and his events have been acclaimed more than a lot of what Vince and co have been doing up on the main roster for a long time. So you got to figure Triple H is feeling pretty good about, like, we want to show up the main roster too. So you kind of have like a 3-point feud here, I would say. You know, what do you think about that?
I think that's a great point, a fascinating point that I'm glad you brought up. Excellent. Yeah, I hadn't really thought much about that, but I mean, that's kind of always been, in the background with NXT is, I used to talk about this with the guys on LOP radio from the right side of the pond about how NXT has essentially emerged as the alternative to WWE. And if it ever got the opportunity to test itself in a more official capacity against its big brother, then we could be looking at a promotional-esque type situation that's comparable to Owen Hart and Bret Hart, the little brother rising to the forefront to try to best the big brother that was always overshadowing him. So that, I think that's a great point. So I want to address something that I was recently thinking about when it comes to another popular thing that I've seen from naysayers who are a little bit worried that the two-hour format is going to be problematic. I think one of the things to remember, everybody, is that it's not actually 2 hours. It's like 90 minutes. That's how much actually makes TV. So, you know, part of the problem when we talk about three-hour Raws is we're still talking about 2.5 hours of wrestling in one sitting with commercials in between. So SmackDown, 90 minutes, it's always been a neat and tidier show. NXT having that extra 30 minutes or so, I actually think is a good opportunity, because one of the things that you don't have by having a one-hour show, and this is what Raw proved back in the day in the 90s when it upgraded to 2 hours, some would say downgraded, because I know there are a lot of people out there that really appreciate the weekly one-hour show, but a weekly 90-minute show fit within, I mean, because that's the thing, I mean, aren't most of us watching on DVR or have the ability to watch that way anyway, even if we watch it live on the night? I can't remember the last time I actually sat down and watched Raw or SmackDown from point A to point B, from the moment it started to the moment it finished. I usually, with Raw, would start at an hour late and then just fast forward through stuff like commercials and stuff that didn't really matter that much to me. I mean, NXT is going to present an opportunity to just, you know, watch wrestling the way wrestling is meant to be watched in 2019. It doesn't have to be live. I mean, that's what the big events are for. That's what the pay-per-views are for. But interest and being able to watch in a comfortable way, I mean, that's what watching TV has evolved to be. But the thought process that having too much time, I think that they've got an opportunity now to add a little bit of flair. You have had opportunities for great matches. Now you have more. You have had opportunities to build character. Now you have more. You have roughly 15 plus minutes or so per show to add more to that and to do it with more people and to, you know, flesh out certain divisions. You do that thing on LOP every quarter or so, the Cool Points review of NXT from takeover to takeover. You're not talking about a lot of contenders. You're talking about not a lot of depth and record. We're talking a lot of the time you're posting records for wrestlers who have been in like three matches during that entire span. I don't think it's a bad thing to expand that a little bit. We're not talking about 3 hours. We're not necessarily talking about something being repetitive and stale. WWE's creative process to make their shows as sort of homogenized as possible, that's not what we're talking about. I think people forget that you can have an awesome wrestling show in 2 hours.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like right now, NXT is clocking in anywhere from like 49-50 minutes to occasionally it might get, you know, 59 or maybe a little over the hour occasionally. So, and that's with WWE Network advertisements kind of built into it, but they're not long. They're maybe a minute at the most. So I think you're right. I think we're talking about, you know, adding about, you know, maybe 20, 25 more minutes. So you're looking at probably another match, which is good because they've got a lot of talent down there that don't get seen very often. And then you're getting a little bit more promo time. So some of the clips that they'll show on Twitter or on WWE.com, you know, kind of after the fact, maybe you see some of those slotted into the show instead, which would be fine. So I don't think that it's a matter of they can't fill it and make it still, you know, a very concise and efficient use of their time for entertaining wrestling fans. But I do appreciate that having an hour, just from the perspective of someone who has, you know, a family and a busy job and things like that, that it's a little harder maybe to follow when you add that second hour in. But like you say, I mean, if you're PVRing it or you're streaming it, like, you know, you kind of watch it at your own pace. So you're right. It's not the same. There's not the same urgency as there was in the 90s when you had to watch live or maybe you had it on VCR.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit and focus a bit of attention on All Elite Wrestling. You and I have not had an opportunity to talk in a while. AEW has had its first four shows since we last spoke on a podcast. What's your temperature reading, so to speak, on AEW thus far?
AEW, it's pretty exciting. I've got buddies who are following it pretty closely. And just the roster that they've put together, I don't know all of them, but a lot of them are really well known in the independent scene and have wrestled in some, you know, some of the bigger shows over the last few years. And then they've got some of the, you know, ex-WWE talent that are making a splash too. So just from like kind of reading social media and the results and just kind of getting the vibe from them, it looks like a show that should do well. Like it seems to be checking off the boxes for a lot of wrestling fans. I'm interested to see where it's going to land in Canada because that's where I am. So I don't know what channel they're going to be on yet. I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch it. So that's a big factor for me in terms of if I'm going to invest time in it. But for the average, you know, for the American viewers, it seems like it's going to be a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see the format of their TV show. I mean, we know what to expect from NXT. I think we can expect, or at least I hope we can, I hope to see a very similar presentation from them. Moving to live, moving to 2 hours. I want to make sure if I'm an NXT follower that I get to see the pre-taped backstage stuff. Not everything has to be aired live on a live show. Certainly you want to give the audience that shows up in attendance a good show to get what they paid for, but that doesn't mean that Shayna Baszler's slickly produced backstage pre-taped skits need to turn into 10-minute monologue segments. I don't think that they're going to, do you? I assume we're going to see a very similar presentation from NXT.
I would hope so. I mean, why would you mess with the thing that's working? Even though you're on a bigger scale, the reason you're there is because of what you've been doing. So, yeah, let's not go and start changing everything. But I don't know about AEW. Like, are they going? Are they live, or are they like taping to live?
I believe they're live.
Okay, so.
But either way, I mean, I think, you know, the turnaround time from if they're taped to live, is going to be pretty short.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, we're not talking like they're going to tape a show a week in advance or anything like that.
No, they are live. I think they've gotten their first. I think of the first 12 weeks, they've got 10 of those weeks or 9 of those weeks already announced and tickets on sale. Charlotte being today.
Okay.
That was crazy, by the way. That ticket buy experience was nuts. I'll talk about it in a minute.
I'm interested to see for NXT, you know. I think it's helpful. It may be helpful for them to have this new live show in a sense, because they aren't doing a week of tapings and everyone kind of knows ahead of time, oh, well, we know this is going to happen. We know this is going to happen. So in that respect, for the fans who really follow it, it's going to be more exciting to maybe make them want to tune in on that Wednesday night and go, yeah, we really don't know what's going to happen tonight. So that's a bonus for both brands, I think.
I think we're going to see from AEW some more sports entertainment type stuff, if I had to guess. The big monologue segments, I think that they will hype in advance, promo segments involving the likes of Jericho, Moxley, Omega, who I'm curious, by the way, to see him in that type of setting. Cody, obviously. Cody and Jericho as a live WWE-style segment on TV, and that's not really a WWE specific thing. It's just a thing that WWE's become most known for and has since it's dominated the industry for 20 years without competition. But I can see some of those dialogue heavy segments. I'm not opposed to that. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing some more of that from NXT. I think that there is a balance to be struck from the sports entertainment type stuff. And when you say sports entertainment, I guess you're basically just saying lengthy talking segments that don't involve just the pro wrestling matches on TV. So mm-hmm. The stuff that makes it more soap opera-ish.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the AEW brand has done, because we've only seen them do one thing. We've seen them do pay-per-views. That's it. We've seen them do special event cards. So it's kind of wide open.
Well, and I also remember Cody was talking. I think it was Cody was talking about AEW, the way they were gonna kind of promote the brand and kind of talk about it was a little more sports-like. Like, I thought he was gonna kind of push it into a, you know, wins and losses, and let's look at the tail of the tape and that kind of vibe. But I haven't seen anything about that recently, so. I'm interested to see if that's still something they're going to go with, because personally, I could see that the average sports fan would get on board with that kind of style of reporting on it. And just as a quick plug, when I start doing the weekly NXT column, I'm definitely going to take that angle and take more of a sports kind of style to it, because I think that that's an aspect of kind of wrestling reporting or wrestling reviewing that we really haven't seen very much of, but it certainly appeals to sports fans.
Certainly appeals to me. I will definitely be reading that and encourage everybody listening to check it out when it debuts. Is that debuting the week that NXT starts on Wednesdays, or is that going to be once the Wednesday Night War begins?
I think it's probably going to be end of September, early October, just given personal circumstances.
Understood. Yep. Understood. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think one of the things I definitely would like to do while I have you here is I want to actually do a roster by roster, sort of division by division comparison with you, because I think. So I want to get to that in a second. To speak to your point on wins and losses, have you seen that they've set up the Full Gear pay-per-view main event?
I saw only that it's going to be Cody Jericho. I haven't seen any other matches yet.
Okay. Well, Cody and Jericho, Did you see that they actually, that Tony Khan announced that the reason why Cody got the title shot was because of his win-loss record?
No, I didn't see that.
Yep, that was the reason given for him getting a title shot. So he's got the win over Sean Spears. He's got the win over Dustin Rhodes. He's got the tie against Darby Allin. And then, I guess, tag team competition in this case doesn't count because they've actually got him listed on the AEW Twitter account in the hype for that match as being 2-0-1.
Wow.
So I think they are going to lean into that. I think that's great. I think they did a really nice job of that in the first couple of shows they did. Didn't seem to be a big talking point with the All Out commentators. But, you know, all in all, it seems like they are going to lean on that and head in that direction, which I think is great. I think that is one thing that pro wrestling has missed the boat on. WWE, I think the bottom line is Vince McMahon's just not a sports fan, so he just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get it, then it's not going to work because, as has always been said, that company pretty much lives and dies on his whims. And so he gets entertainment, but I don't think he gets the sporting aspect of it. But these guys in AEW, they see the value in that. They see that, you know, in the United States, for instance, millions of people every week will watch the College Football Playoff Selection Committee bring forth a top 25 that really ultimately has very little bearing on who makes the college football playoff. It's just telling you 4 weeks in advance who would be in the playoff if the playoff started without those added 4 or 5 games played. Millions of people watch that. It's something that generates interest, rankings, records. You get two guys that are 9-0, and you put that in a main event of one of the TV shows, I think it's going to pop a rating. And it'll pop a rating not because either one of them are necessarily super big, bold, bombastic personalities, but because they have win-loss records that show they're undefeated. And if wins and losses matter, then matches that put big stakes on the line with guys that have great win-loss records, all of a sudden, that all by itself generates interest. I think that's great. I really hope they lean into that because that is a dynamic that I think makes them unique. What do you see from them so far that you think is also really unique to them?
Well, aside from the stats thing, I like the way that they're driving attention through what they're doing on social media. I mean, like there wasn't really anything like what the Elite was doing with their YouTube videos, right? And they're still doing that. They're still incorporating that kind of style into AEW. So the way that you kind of have to follow, you know, you have to follow almost kind of the TV show, and then you have stuff going on online that kind of enhances or supports that. They're doing that uniquely. Like WWE hasn't really done that in the same way. They're not driving storyline through, you know, online content in that way, it seems. NXT has done a little bit of that, especially last summer when it was the whodunit kind of mystery with, you know, who attacked Aleister Black. And that was a big success. So I think because we're watching content kind of seamlessly, if it's TV, we might still be watching it on our computers. Like, it's all kind of together now. I think that if AEW kind of pushes that more and they continue to show, you know, kind of little clips here and there of whatever it is, character development or promoting, different wrestlers and maybe even having little kind of shows that have the announcers talking about match previews and things like that. When it becomes its own world and it becomes, you know, that many things, those are just more ways of getting the fans more invested in the product. So I think that's one thing I would highlight for what's unique with AEW's presentation so far.
I also like the fact that they are incorporating several different styles. The introduction back to the mainstream of hardcore wrestling, I know will have its critics, and I don't expect to see it often on the AEW TV show until proven otherwise. It seems more like, to me, a pay-per-view attraction that might entice you to buy a pay-per-view, since they're going to be doing, I'm assuming, that AEW is going to continue to do a more traditional pay-per-view for the time being.
I think that it's kind of like when ECW kind of got started and they started, you know, getting a little bit more hardcore and things like that. And it made a splash, right? Like people got really excited about it. It was something fresh. And it's weird that in 2019, you know, even as much as you have these Hell in the Cell matches and things like that, there's a potential for, you know, a hardcore match in AEW to actually be significant thing. Like it's not just like, oh, we're doing that again. It's like, no, it fits the feud. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it the way it's been done successfully for decades, you know? So I agree with that.
They've had two already. They've had the match between Moxley and Janela, which I thought was fantastic. And then they had the match at All Out between Darby Allin and Joey Janela and Jimmy Havoc, which I also thought was fantastic. So I think they've done four shows. They've had two matches like that among the, you know, what, 40 some odd matches that they have put on display thus far. I think it's great. And this is my favorite thing about AEW, and that, I guess that'll probably segue into our division to division sort of looking at the two rosters against each other, because obviously that's going to be a part of what drives the competition and what drives people to want to watch one over the other if they're not watching both. I know personally for me, I don't know about everybody else at home, I would imagine I'm in the minority on this, but I'm getting to a point with my wrestling fandom where at times of the year, I'm just going to have to choose. So these companies are auditioning for my personal viewership. I will watch both shows for a couple of months, but then I'm basically going to try to stick with one over the other until a random viewing might swing me back in the other direction. It's going to depend on what they're doing. It's going to depend on the cards they're putting out, who they're putting on display that's connecting with me. It's going to be a competition at my house, I'll tell you that much. But let's talk about the tag team division, because that's my favorite thing about AEW thus far. The depth there is impressive. The talent there is impressive. The number of over acts is also impressive. I mean, NXT and AEW both share this dynamic. I assume you would agree that their fans that come to watch them really are coming there to have a blast. So pretty much everyone's over, or to a degree. So, you know, but I feel like the acts that are in AEW's tag team division, a couple of them could very seamlessly get moved higher up the card and no one would bat an eyelash. I'm talking specifically about the likes of the Luchasaurus. If he showed up in a major singles match on the second AEW pay-per-view of 2020, I think everyone would be completely and utterly enthused by that. So AEW's tag division, you're talking about at the top of it, the Young Bucks. The Lucha Bros for the time being are going to remain a tag team. You have LAX, which is a great signing. If you've not watched a lot of Impact Wrestling in the past 2 years, they've been shining stars. They had excellent matches in 2018. They had even better matches with the Lucha Bros earlier this year. You've got them. I mean, those three teams alone are a foundation that we have not seen as strongly as that one in what? I mean, did we ever see in NXT the Revival, DIY, and American Alpha all be in the division at the same time, or had American Alpha already moved on to the main roster by the time DIY became a thing?
I think they had already moved up.
So at no point have you really had a core foundation for tag team wrestling that strong since the TLC days?
Well, I mean, NXT did have Authors of Pain, DIY, and The Revival at the same time. That's not too bad.
Would you consider that greater than or equal to or lesser than the trio just mentioned for AEW?
Well, I would say it's pretty close. I would say maybe the AEW's got a bit more track record of excellence there though, right? So especially LAX, because I have seen LAX wrestle in Impact. I've seen them wrestle live as well, and they are fantastic. Those guys are legit. And that was a great acquisition for AEW. And I don't know a lot of people. I haven't seen a lot of people talking about it, but I think they're going to make a great splash. They're going to impress a lot of people, depending on how they're booked. They're going to impress a lot of people for sure. Yeah, I think AEW definitely has the strength in the tag division right now, and it's not really close. NXT hasn't focused too much on tag this year. You know, it's been Street Profits and Undisputed Era for the most part. And week to week, there hasn't been a lot of tag team development. So I don't know if that's just a choice that Triple H and them have made, that they just, we're not going to focus on that right now, or they don't have teams that are like gelling the way that they want to. So I think AEW far and away is going to be ahead on that.
How do you feel about the women's division by comparison? Do you feel like it's the other way around? My opinion of AEW's women's division that I shared last week on the show was that it really lacks a star. It's got a lot of mid first round draft picks on it, and no number one pick, no top five pick. I think NXT in many ways is the other way around. It's got the top five pick, the figurehead of the division, Shayna Baszler. I am a huge fan of. I think her presentation in NXT is flat out spot on, but AEW doesn't have her, so they don't have anyone who I think has yet emerged as comparable to her. But the depth of the division, do you see the depth as comparable?
Yeah, good point there. I agree with the kind of the mid round draft picks on AEW. I mean, you know, I don't know, and I don't know a lot of them from my viewing experience. I mean, I saw Ali wrestle in Impact, and she character wise grew quite well to be, you know, someone that you wanted to see what was going to happen next to her. But I mean, I don't know if that was more of a function of the kind of story that was written around her, or if that's something that she just brings to whatever, you know, feud that she's in. We'll have to wait and see. But NXT's women's roster, like, they've got, you know, some of the top women from all around the world fighting right now. I mean, Io Shirai and Zha Li are excellent talents. Bianca Belair is continuing to excel. Like, she is so over at Full Sail right now. And yeah, she didn't, you know, win against Baszler, and she's kind of stuck right now. You know, maybe number one, number two contender, but like, she's got a lot of future ahead of her as a star if she sticks in the business. So I would say, I think you're right. I think we're looking at a stronger women's division in NXT right now.
And even though I don't think that the results were all that great, I thought Mia Yim well underperformed at NXT TakeOver in Toronto. But nevertheless, the women's division has been on an upward trajectory. They just, for the first time in TakeOver history, now 26 different TakeOver shows, this was the first card that had two women's matches, correct?
Yeah, and that's a significant thing, right? Because
depth. I mean, that showed they now have two legit heels to build around. So they've got, I think what we've seen from Io Shirai has made it very clear that they actually have two top 10 picks in the NXT tag team division, at least, with Bianca Belair right behind them. So I think, yeah, I mean, your comments basically made it clear to me that far and away, NXT's women's division has the one-up on AEW's. And that's not to say that AEW doesn't have significant talent, but I just don't think they've had the opportunity yet, or haven't created the opportunity yet, to flesh things out enough. I mean, we're talking about one match, two matches on an eight-match card, maybe a grand total of five women's matches in their history to date, compared to the, you know, 30-some-odd men's matches. There just has not been the opportunity for any of those women to really be fleshed out much further than maybe, say, Nyla Rose. And I guess, I mean, that's partly why they're going to be in the championship match on the first night of AEW on TNT. It's her and it's Rio, but that's not inspiring to me. That's not exactly something I'm chomping at the bit to see. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what the perception of that competition is.
Yeah, I think it's going to take time, and as it should. I mean, some of the expectation here, I think, is a little bit ridiculous, and it comes with the territory. Nowadays, as soon as a hot show is talked about, or you find out that certain actors or actresses are going to be a part of something, everyone just expects it's going to be amazing. But this is not realistic. I mean, AEW, it's still a new brand, and yes, they have a lot of people that have been in the business for years, and they have people who are known to the public, but you got to give this time to grow. I would say the same thing for NXT. Like, we got to give this time to grow, but especially the women's division in AEW, like, give it some time.
Good point. Very good point. I think that NXT goes into the quote unquote war with one advantage and one disadvantage. They lose the tag team battle, but they win the women's battle. And that leaves, you know, obviously there are four divisions technically in NXT, but the function of the North American champion is essentially to play a role that is comparable to some of the second and third main events that we see from on AEW's pay-per-views to date. So let's talk about the men's top title positions, those top 5 to 7 slots on any given for either given company at any given time. In NXT, you're talking about Adam Cole.
Bebe.
Pardon?
Bebe. You have to say Bebe.
Absolutely. And as an extension of that, the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Velveteen Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Gargano.
For now.
For now, yeah. Are we expecting him to go somewhere?
It's possible. They're going to talk about it next week. He's got a big like career retrospective. He's going to make a decision to something to that effect. So, I mean, it felt like an ending. I was there in Toronto live. It felt like an ending for him. But now with the NXT brand going to USA, maybe they change gears on that. I don't know.
Does he have much story left to tell, in your opinion?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that's what I mean. Like, when we were there watching after the whatever it was, the Cage of Weapons ascended and the crowd was cheering him, and then Regal came out on the stage, I was like, you've all but basically said goodbye. Like, I don't know what else there is to say. It just feels like he's done what he can here, and it's time to make his mark on the main roster. But I don't know if, yeah, I feel like it's the end for him for sure.
And that's very interesting, because that's a big loss. I mean, he's been such a key part of the NXT machine's upward trajectory. I mean, it just kept, if maybe not everything in NXT rose up a level while he was one of the top guys for the last 2 years, one of the unquestionable things that he elevated was the in-ring ceiling of what could be achieved in NXT. Some of the best matches of all time in NXT and period, frankly, have come via Johnny Gargano. So, I mean, that's a big loss, especially if you're going to try to, you know, bring some of that takeover-esque elements to the television show. You lose your Shawn Michaels, essentially, with losing Johnny Gargano. That's a tough blow.
Unless they bring DIY back and then they bolster the tag division. I mean, that's a possibility too, right? That's what they were going for before Ciampa got hurt. There was kind of that vibe. So
what's the timetable on Ciampa? Because he's obviously right in the thick of things there if he's ready to return.
Yeah, he's the last report that I had seen was that it could be any time at this point, that he's had his 6 months, I think, just about of healing. So it could be any time this fall, I would think.
Wow. Well, that would obviously be a huge boon to their debut months on USA Network. Who else are we talking about? Matt Riddle. So we got Matt Riddle, Velveteen Dream, Adam Cole, and the Undisputed Era by extension. The possible return of Tommaso Ciampa, potentially something still with Johnny Gargano. Who else we got up at that level?
Kushida has got to be up there. And Keith Lee has been kind of, they've been simmering on him for a long time now, and he's starting to get fed up in storylines. So and that guy is ready to go for sure. He's very likable, super heavyweight, moves as well as Killian Dane in the ring, if not better. So that'd be great to see him get pushed when the live show starts.
That seems like one of those guys to me who stands to benefit most from that added 30 minutes of week-to-week time.
Oh, for sure, yeah. He doesn't get much ring time. Like, him and Dominik Dijakovic there, like, they just had their second match. And I know there was some injury stuff involved there why it got delayed, but, like, you're talking, like, 5-6 months between matches. So with a longer show, yeah, you probably don't have that happen unless it's on purpose.
And then on the flip side of that, over in AEW, you're comparing that group from NXT to Chris Jericho's the champion. You got Cody as his first challenger, a strong first challenger, I think. Kenny Omega, Pac or Pac.
Yeah.
You've got MJF is climbing the ranks.
Sean Spears.
Yeah, Sean Spears to me got defined down quite a bit at All Out, but certainly the dedication of time to him in the build up to All Out suggests he's a player. Adam Page,
yeah,
was also defined down a bit, but still is very much in the thick of things, and Jon Moxley, of course.
Yeah, so you've got guys with pedigree, and they're not young, like they've been in the business for a long time. So it's neat. It's neat to see that they are getting like a kind of a second life, you know, in AEW, where a lot of people may not have ever seen them before, but they have the benefit of having, you know, wrestled at a top level in other promotions for many years. So it's not like it's a rookie group here.
And because of that, I think that's the point that I would focus on personally when giving the edge in that main event division to AEW is, to put Jericho aside for a moment, he's playing the role that they need him to play for now. That does come with, I think, some valid criticism. I brought that up on Twitter. Didn't get a lot of positive feedback for it, but I brought it up on Twitter. But you've got Cody, something to prove in his prime of his wrestling career. Kenny Omega, same thing. Pac, same thing. Jon Moxley, absolutely. You have a collection of guys at the top who are seasoned. They're really primed and ready to, if they're gonna have their moment, then they're upon it. NXT, I don't know that we're in the same boat with that. NXT does have a reputation of sort of plugging and playing. It's kind of like the Patriot system in the National Football League. It's okay, you lose one guy, you just bring somebody else in. They've got a great system. It's the system that works. It's the system that's successful. And there are just some guys who are a lot more successful within it than others. Do you feel that way about the NXT versus AEW dynamic at the top?
I think there's some degree of truth to that. I think there are more guys on the AEW roster with a chip on their shoulder than there are guys in NXT. And the focal point for a guy in NXT, it's got to be tough now, because for some of the guys who wrestle there, that's the best wrestling that they're ever going to have. And that's the best kind of presentation that they're ever going to have. So you've got guys who want to stay there and wrestle, and now that's more realistic than ever before. But still, you have the potential up until however, you know, much time passes that we see maybe this has changed, that there are going to be guys moved from NXT to the main roster. And so NXT is always going to be fighting this unless it changes and they start just letting NXT do its own thing. But AEW doesn't have that specific kind of worry. And they've got, like I said, guys with chips on their shoulders who want to kind of stick it to everybody else who thinks that, you know, this company won't make a splash and won't kind of rise to the level that they want to be successful. And I think if AEW continues to acquire talent who have that kind of same attitude and they kind of stick to their own show, because I think that's also important. You don't want to poke the bear too much at this point. but they stick to their own show and they do their thing well, I think that's when you're going to see a really great Wednesday night of wrestling, is if you've got those kind of elements in play.
You know what I think is cool about AEW? I could foresee a scenario, and maybe some people who are bigger fans of New Japan than I am might think this is ludicrous, but I can see a scenario where Kazuchika Okada decides that I've been the top guy in New Japan for 9 years. I'm ready for a different challenge. I want to go see if I can help AEW be pushed over the top and beat and catch up to WWE. I love that we live in a world that that doesn't seem ridiculous. Or maybe it does, but I don't think it seems ridiculous.
I think that would be fantastic. I think it would be amazing if AEW can like kind of establish itself as a legitimately reasonable option for wrestlers to go to. And it seems like, you know, as far as the contract and the amount of time that they're wrestling, that it's going to be a little easier on their bodies, which is a huge deal right now. I'd like to see if WWE guys start to defect over. And if that starts happening more often, along with guys like Okada who say, yeah, I'm going to come over and help out, I think then you're going to see things really pick up. And it's just win-win for the fans. Because, like, we're going to watch, you know, for many of us, we're going to watch as much of it as we can anyways. Or at least we're going to follow as much of it as we can anyways, you know?
Absolutely. Well, let's get some closing thoughts here. How do you see the early part of the battle for supremacy going?
I see AEW kind of a little bit ahead, ratings-wise at first, but I don't know if their show is going to be the better quality show at first. I think Triple H is not going to let this opportunity go to waste. I think he's going to set up some really good stuff going into War Games. So I think maybe quality of the show-wise, I think NXT, just because it's established and it works. But as far as like getting ratings and bringing the average fan or the non-wrestling fan into it, I think it might take a little more time for NXT to build up that following to match AEW. But it won't be like a significantly drastic difference.
Final question I really have for you. Real competition here, or just a perception of competition?
At this point, perception of competition. I don't think it's as realistic as people want it to be. You know, people are making it kind of the competition, but you know, one of the funny things is if you think something is true long enough, you start believing it's true. If you get enough people who are in those brands and as fans doing the same thing, you're going to have the competition whether you think it's real or not.
Yeah, I think that this competition is real in some ways and perceived in others. I think in terms of ratings, not sure that that's that big of a deal right now. I think it could be. I think it could be influential. I think there are minds on both sides that will have a hard time steering clear of that dynamic. But I think that I think one of the competition aspects that's undeniably going to be there is both shows want to be regarded as the better show. I think that's something that's very real. Vince McMahon may not care about that, but I get the impression that both Triple H's camp and Cody, the Bucks, Kenny Omega, and that camp, the Elite's camp, they want to have the best show. They want to be the most talked about. They want to be the one that has the most buzz, that their target audience is talking about more than the other. I think that's very real.
Yeah, and it's and like I said before, it's the same audience though, right? Like
big time. Like that's the thing. It's the diehard wrestling fan base.
Exactly. And so my question is, who's gonna catch fire with the non-wrestling fan first, or is that even a focus for them? I would say it's got to be a focus for them if they want their brand to succeed.
It's the next step. It's definitely the next step for NXT, setting the stage for what they've got to accomplish. They've got to bring their core audience to USA Network and other networks on which it is broadcast throughout the world, and they have got to use that platform to expand their brand and to show that presentation of pro wrestling this specific way works and works great, and all that needs to be done is a slight modification here and there, and then they're off to the races. And of course, AEW has to find that casual lapsed wrestling fan. They've got to be able to do what is arguably not happening that much in WWE, and that's the creation of new wrestling fans who will one day become the Doc Chad Matthews and Jay Cool sitting around in whatever thing that podcasts are 30 years from now.
Absolutely. You
know, perhaps our kids will be on here talking to each other one day about AEW versus WWE or whatever the heck else is out there by that point. So it's been a pleasure having you on the show, Van. It always is great to talk to you. And if you want to plug the upcoming column you've got, feel free to do it again. And then, of course, let people know where they can hit you up on social media to continue the conversation that we began today.
I appreciate that, Doc. So, yeah, we're looking at JCoolLOP for Twitter. That's where I do most of my social media for anything wrestling related. And then, going to be launching the Cool Points NXT column in October with the new live show. And it's going to be a nice break from writing results, although that's been a wonderful opportunity and to help me hone my craft. But now I've been following the brand for 4 years, and definitely going to take more of a sports approach to it and try and analyze things from that kind of perspective, and for guys like you and I, and hopefully others out there too, I think that should appeal to you, and you can get on board with the discussion there on lordsofpain.net.
Excellent. Well, also again, check out The Greatest Matches and Rivalries of the WrestleMania Era on audiobook. If you would like a code to get a reduced cost or free copy of the audiobook, then just hit me up at the Doc LOP on Twitter or email me at cmdoclop@gmail.com. But feel free to jump in on the conversation. The Wednesday Night War is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to check out all the other shows here on the Chairshot Radio Network. And we'll look forward to continuing this discussion on social media. Once again, for Jay Cool, this has been the Doc Chad Matthews. Have an awesome week.
This is just what the doc ordered. I'm saying welcome. They sick of the other shows. Chad here to help them. The author of the Mania Era is bringing terror on radio. This is the preparer for the knowledge that he about to showcase. Like a bar that you lift, his opinions hold weight. He wrote a few books and he's working on another for y'all. This a 5-star podcast. Chad, let's get it on.
Author of the WrestleMania Era.